In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Thank you for coming to church today. I bet you thought twice about coming today because of the heat. But thank you for being here. If you want to, you can go and cool yourself off in the baptistry. Pray for those five people that we will baptize later. I got up this morning at 5 a.m., came in, opened the doors of the church to let the air in here, and stepped out of the front door. Beautiful clear morning with a breeze and a clear sky. It got cloudier later. And looking left, I could see a crystal moon. And I just thought, well, thank you, Lord, for the glory of summertime. Particularly those of us who like to go to the beach on summer. Who likes going to the beach? Yeah? We're off to Cornwall for 10 days, and I've got to get my beach fix, so forgive me for that. Do you know what I mean? Where you see the glory of the vastness of the sea and the cathartic effect of the waves coming in relentlessly, beautifully, that send you to sleep at night if you're close enough. And the glory and majesty of a God who made it, 2/3 of the world's surface covered by sea. So we celebrate that today on this Sea Sunday. Our reading from Amos picks up, actually, something in our stained glass. Do you know we've got a plumb line in our stained glass here at St. Andrews? Anybody have any idea where it is? Cool, it might, okay. So if you look over there, you can go there later. Actually, it picks up two things that reflect our theme today. One is Noah's Ark over the stained glass. Another is an anchor. Can you see the big anchor? Go and have a look at it later. And next to the anchor is somebody holding a plumb line, much like the one talked about in the Amos reading. God's standards, says Amos, cannot be put aside. So our lives and our churches are judged by God's plumb line. And that's what we do here when we come and we say the confession together, hopefully with earnest, meaning to live better lives as a result of being here. We are holding a plumb line against our life and seeing where we measure up. Judgment has consequences on us all. And if ever an age needed to reflect on how it's doing and where it is in reference to God's plumb line, it's our age now. And then this wonderful reading that you'll be more familiar with than most, I'm sure, the story of the Good Samaritan. This is a great story of compassion without borders. Compassion without borders. What Jesus is saying in this wonderfully familiar story is saying there are no distinctions at all between all human beings. Our personal preferences, our ethnic preferences to God are completely irrelevant. And you might say, well, we knew that, Pastor, Vicar, we knew that God is no differentiator between people. But you know, our world and our history and our life daily says something different. The huge inequalities that we face, the prejudice that come our way on a daily basis, is the antithesis of what's talked about in this wonderful parable. And it's impossible, really, to recapture its original surprise and impact. This, for the people who were hearing it at the time, it would have been a spiritual earthquake to them when they heard the story of a good Samaritan. The two words were never synonymous. An oxymoron, if you like. A good Samaritan. one of the things I love about this story is that the Good Samaritan's life is deeply interrupted by this man that he sees who's in desperate need. So one thing for you today, how willing are you in your routines and in your life, how willing are you for your life to be interrupted? One of the responsibilities of every Christian is to allow his or her life to be interrupted. So, for example, one of the things about living here on site, literally my house through that door, I'm physically attached to the ministry. And one thing I've learned in the years that we've been here is that we have to willingly open our lives to be constantly interrupted, because for a lot of people, you never know who's going to turn up at any hour of day and knock at my door. But it's a Christian calling that we're present here in our parish, that we're rooted, we're here to bring healing, and therefore we must embrace constantly, all of us, that wherever we go, a life that is willing to be interrupted. A lot of us live out of our routines, and we say, oh, whatever, don't break my routine. A lot of us feel very securely about the things that we do on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. But the one thing about the Christian calling as a disciple is that you must be willing to allow your life to be deeply interrupted. Something that comes your way that results in you using your own resources to bless somebody else and your time to bring healing to them in whatever that requires. It costs the ministry of interruption. Secondly, this parable wonderfully states about the importance of our neighbour. So let me remind you today that your salvation is sat next to you. Next to the Blessed Sacrament that we will share in a moment, it is your neighbour that you're sat next to, who you might tolerate, you might like, you might dislike, I don't know. Maybe there's been constant tension, who knows? The person that you are sat next to and the person that you live alongside, your neighbour, your house, your home, the person you travel with to tube on a daily basis, those people are the holiest people that you're likely to be presented with, because they are made in the image of God. Next to the Blessed Sacrament, it is your neighbour who is the holiest object presented to you, to your senses. And so that's why, if you want to grow spiritually, look to your neighbour. If you want to grow in goodness, you have to do it through others. It is through your neighbour. Helping others and blessing others is your means of your redemption. That's the way that it works. Your neighbour is your redemption. And the person next to you is the most likely thing that you will ever encounter, you, other than the Holy Sacrament, that speaks of something which is holy. What I love about the story of the Good Samaritan is it's deeply practical. He puts him on his animal, it says. He takes him to an inn. He not only invests for him for the day, but the next day, and he leaves him money so that he is bound up and he is healed. If you like, he puts legs on his vision. I'll finish with a simple story. A friend of mine was very sick. He was young. He had a young family. He was admitted to Central Middlesex Hospital, and he was very ill for a very long time with a serious gastroenterological condition. He saw a lot of doctors. He had a young family, about 4 children at the time, young. A lot of people came to see him in hospital, he told me. And a lot of them would go, and the last thing that they would say to him at the end of the visit, they would say, "I will pray for you." and he would always respond, thank you. I will pray for you, and he would always respond, thank you. Then one day, another friend came to see him. And at the end of the conversation, as he lay there in hospital, very ill, he said to him again, he said, I will pray for you. But also tell me, how are your family managing at the moment? He was self-employed. How are you managing to feed your family? Now the fact that you've got no work, how are you managing to put life together? You've been here now for 5 weeks. He said to the person, I've got overwhelming debts. And in that moment, he wrote out a very large check and placed it in his hands. He says, I will pray for you, and here's a gift to support you through this very difficult time. See, what he did, he put legs on the vision. He not only offered the possibility of prayer, but he came to him and he met him with his own resources. And that is what this story is all about. It puts legs on a vision. And that man that day realized actually that this person in bed here, as he came to him to minister and look after him, he was his salvation. That's enough from me on this warm day.